Father God, this morning, as we open your word, as we remind ourselves of this story from Mark chapter 1, the healing of an unwell man, we remind ourselves that you are indeed the healing Christ. And so we pray, Lord, come, healing Christ, descend in power just now to illuminate and open the word to us. May there be a message for us each today. Amen. You know, in the New Testament, there was no disease regarded with more terror and more pity than that of leprosy. The fate of the leper was truly hard. Leprosy was a dreaded and incurable skin disease. It would begin with tiredness and pains in the joints. It would be followed by the appearance all over the body of blotches. The facial hair would then start to fall out. The voice would become hoarse and breathing would become difficult. The muscles and the nerves would waste away until finally it would end in mental decay, coma, and ultimately death. And all of this could last for around 9 years, with the sufferer becoming absolutely repulsive, both to himself and to every other person that he came into contact with. According to the Jewish law that was laid down in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, any such sufferer was rendered unclean. They were banished from the company of other human beings, and so they would have to live in leper colonies. They could not participate in religious or social activities. And anybody who came into direct contact with a leper was then considered unclean themselves. Lepers had to dwell alone, away from houses. Their clothes that they would wear would be torn. And as they went by, lepers had to give clear warnings of their polluted presence by shouting, "Unclean! Unclean!" People would often grab rocks as they heard these voices crying out, and they'd hurl them at the lepers just to keep them at a safe distance for fear of catching the disease. The leper not only had to bear the physical pain of the disease, he or she had to bear the mental anguish and the heartbreak of being completely banished from human society. They weren't welcome whatsoever. No doubt this leper here in Mark chapter 1, whose name is not known, we never know his name, would have heard of the miraculous healings that Jesus had been doing and had taken place. And so when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he seized his opportunity. The man was filled with a longing, wouldn't you be, to be free from the disease. He came not to demand his healing. He came not with plea after plea. Instead, he came with a simple request and with great humility. He fell on his knees before the Saviour. And there he asked Jesus to clean him, to take away the illness. This guy shouldn't have even been talking to another human being, apart from to yell the words, "Unclean! Unclean!" And yet here he is, showing how we all should be approaching Jesus. He came with humility. He came on his knees. He came with reverence for Jesus' greatness. He came with a heart full of longing. And he came with a firm belief in the power of Jesus. He knew he had a disease, but more importantly, he knew where he could find the cure and where he could be made right again. Mark chapter 1 verse 40, he says to Jesus, you can make me clean. He didn't say to Jesus, "Listen, I've heard you might be able to make me well again." No, he said, "You can make me clean." He was convinced in the power of Jesus, and so he said the words, "You can." And more than that, he believed it for himself. "You can make me clean. You can make me clean." Yet you also notice that the leper realized he had no claim upon Christ. He had no right to tell Jesus what to do. And so he added some beautiful, submissive words. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean if you are willing. I don't know about you, but when I read that line in Mark chapter 1, I seem to sense in his voice an understanding that says, hey, I won't be angry or choose to hate you if you choose not to make me well. You can make me clean if you are willing. I was reading in the newspaper the other day of the problems on public transport. And having been on public transport myself some days, I can understand it's very difficult. But the article I was reading simply said, how to get a seat on a packed commuter train. How to get a seat on a packed commuter train. And the author of the article went on to explain, he has one simple trick. He gets on the tube in the morning at his tube station, and it's chock-a-block. He's hanging there. He's got somebody else's armpit in his nose. It's horrendous. So what does he do? Simple. He starts to cough. And then he starts to sneeze. And he says within a minute, people are starting to move away from him. He says within 5 minutes of him doing this, there's invariably a seat opposite him that nobody wants to sit in. So he plonks himself down. And once he's got his seat, he stops coughing and stops sneezing and goes off to work. And he says it works every morning for him. Every single morning. I won't advocate you try that. It could get some interesting things. But he does. But actually, he's picked up on a human nature that actually none of us want to be near poorly people. And there in his tube train, by making out that he's unwell, by coughing, by sneezing, people don't want to catch his germs, and so they stand away from him. What did the old Pathé film say? Coughs and sneezes spread diseases. Well, how did Jesus respond to this man? Everyone else had driven him away. Everybody else had thought, no way, you're not coming near to me. Or they'd taken themselves away from him for fear of catching this incurable disease. He'd broken Jewish law. He'd risked infecting Jesus with the disease. What did Jesus do? Jesus should have turned him away. But no, instead we read these words in verse 40. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. At a time when the man was hurting, Jesus heard his pleas and warmed to his pain and warmed to his suffering. Jesus actually matched longing with longing. To the plea, if you are willing, came the answer, I am willing. It was something that Jesus wanted to do. To make people valued and whole is Jesus's work. And yet the compassion of Jesus was extended even further. I remember a few years ago, when I was working on IHQ, I was visiting Chikinkata. And there in Chikinkata, as we toured around the building, we went onto a ward, and the doctor in charge was telling us what each ward was. And as we went onto the ward, he said, this is the leprosy ward. What? And there I was, the officer from IHQ. What did I do? And I just wanted to withdraw my hand. But I found myself reaching it out and actually shaking hands with the person. My natural instinct said, oh dear, leprosy. All I know about leprosy is this horrible thing from the... Actually, the doctor went on to tell me, leprosy is very curable now. It's not a problem. We touch lepers all the time. But actually, in Jesus' day, that was an issue. I remember at the height of Diana, Princess of Wales' time in charity work, when she was working with AIDS patients, even at that time, people would not shake the hands of someone with AIDS because they got this fear, even though they knew they couldn't catch it by hand-to-hand contact. There was just this thing about, what was the thing she did? She went onto a ward, and every time she went onto a ward, the first thing she did, she grabbed the hand of the person, and she kept holding that hand for as long as she was talking to them. She went onto the next person and did the same. Nobody would go near this leper in Mark 1. They wouldn't even touch him. They'd hurl rocks at him. They didn't want to catch his disease. They were fearful. They had reservations as to what might happen with them. What did Jesus do? Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. He could have just said, your faith has made you well, as he did in other cases, but he didn't. There was an expression, an extension to his compassion that was tenderness, that made him do what nobody else had done. With tenderness, he placed his hand on the man. He didn't just say, your faith has made you well. He made the physical contact. After all, this leper was a man, a human being. I wonder how long it had been previous to that moment, prior to that moment, since that man had been embraced by another human being. Years, probably. Imagine what that moment of tenderness said to that leper. I guess we've all been in situations of feeling lonely, isolated, where we feel that no one cares. And in that instant, all we've wanted is somebody to put their arm around us. You know, for Jesus Christ, nobody was untouchable. The leper came seeking Jesus. He had a strong desire to see him so much. Wild horses would not have kept this man away from him. And as a result, he went away radically changed. I could finish there. We could go into the appeal song. And yet it doesn't seem appropriate to finish there, because that leper went away radically changed. And yet for others, that is not always the case. For others, that is not always the case. Like the leper, we too believe in a God of miracles. We too seek him as we're told to seek him in the Bible. And yet in doing so, some find healing that they desire, whereas other people don't. The yearning for wholeness is in our nature, just as it was within the leper. And at times, God chooses not to heal or answer our prayers in the way that we would want, for reasons that we rarely understand in full. You know, in one of his essays, C.S. Lewis, the essay was Petitionary Prayer, A Problem Without an Answer, it was called. But C.S. Lewis was wrestling with this same issue too. And in his essay, he argues that Jesus tells us to pray with astonishing confidence that God will answer all of our petitions. He quotes this quote from Matthew chapter 18, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. That's how we're told by Jesus to pray. And yet C.S. Lewis in his essay argues that on the other hand, Jesus doesn't seem to display this same confidence that his own requests will be granted, because there in Gethsemane, he makes this prayer, my Father, if it's possible, then let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. And we all know that Jesus ultimately went on to drink a cup of suffering. C.S. Lewis wrestled with this same problem. What we know about truth and what we find in experience sometimes are very different. God does not always respond to our desires. And he frequently allows circumstances that we wish he would not allow. And so we're left with that eternal question, why? Why doesn't God always want to fix that which I want fixed? Well, I have to say to you, I don't know. I don't have the answer. And I don't think there's a scholar alive that does. They might think they can come out with answers that we've all heard before about lacking in faith or other things. But they don't seem to be the right answer for me. It would be incorrect for us to think that wholeness means that any deficiency in our body or our life is going to be absent. To expect the Christian life to be filled with the glow of life that is exempt from doubt and incomprehension, that's exempt from troubles and suffering, is certainly not the message of Christ crucified in any way, shape, or form. As Paul understood well, we actually find ourselves on a cross-shaped path in which we are sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. Friends, ours is a cross-shaped path. And the God of Jesus Christ has not promised to spare us suffering, even suffering that seems totally senseless. But there is a promise. God has promised to be with us, assuring nothing can separate us from his faithful love, not even death. We do not know why God allows one to be healed and others are not. But one thing is certain, however, whether we are healed or not, we always, everywhere, have the sustaining presence of God to carry us when we can go no further. As Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 31, "Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." At the moment of his weakness, this leper in Mark chapter 1, when his need for power was great, the leper met a man called Jesus. That man was filled with longing, compassion, and tenderness. And so the leper was touched by hands that heal. Friends, our pathway is not promised to be without difficulty. And along the way, God may not respond as we would want and hope. And yet in ways beyond our understanding, the Master's hand will carry us when we can go no further. His is a hand that heals. And this morning, as we reflect on that message, we're going to turn to a song in the songbook. I'm not quite sure how you've come to the hall this morning, or what is on your heart, what is in your thinking when you consider a subject like this. I know that whenever I come to Jesus, my deficiencies are always laid bare. And whenever I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, I sense my great need. And today is no different. Lord, here today, my great need I am feeling. I don't have leprosy. I'm not ill. But I still have a need for the hands that heal. I still have a need to say to this Jesus who stood in my presence, "Touch me again. Touch me again, wonderful healer. Touch me again. I'm longing to feel your compassion, your tenderness." And even though sometimes you act in ways I do not understand, I trust you to not leave me or forsake me and to carry me when I can go no further. So today, Lord, touch me again. Touch me. How about you? We're going to sing this beautiful song together in an act of prayer, very quietly. And I'm very conscious that a subject like this is very difficult for us to grasp. But one thing I am confident of is that the God who stands with us is a wonderful healer who, in ways beyond our understanding, can carry us through. sing with me. And if you want to come to the place of prayer this morning, come. If you just want to be touched where you are, receive his touch on your heart. Thanks, Leslie.
Lord, today my great need I am feeling. Wilt thou not visit my soul once again? I long to feel Christ's touch and its healing. Wonderful healer of touch,
she'll pick up just the chorus for us very quietly as we reflect and receive the touch of Christ today. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning having praised you, having stood in your presence all this time, and we dare to ask, just like the leper, for a simple touch, a touch of transformation, a touch of one who longs to reach out to us, a touch of one who is filled with compassion and tenderness for us each, who loves us more than anything we can ever comprehend. And so this morning, please, Lord, whatever our circumstances, wherever we are in life, wherever we are on the pathway, may we be conscious of you walking alongside us, giving us that encouraging touch. May your hands to us each this morning be hands that heal. Lord, you know that this is such a difficult subject for us to grapple with at times, because we know that sometimes you choose not to respond to our prayers and requests or our needs in ways that we would like. Lord, we have no answers for why you want to work in those ways, and sometimes we just seek the comfort of knowing. And yet one thing we do take to heart today is that there's never a circumstance or a period of life that you are not there to carry us through when we feel we cannot go on. Father, today, Lord Jesus, today, we thank you that your hands are always with us, around us, healing us. May you indeed always be the wonderful healer to us all. Amen.